morning again. Welcome. Thank you guys for watching online and being in our worship center in person. It's just a joy to be able to have child dedication like this. I'm thankful that I was here to be able to be here for that. And as I said, welcome to those of you who are online. You know, a few weeks back, we were at Fall Fling, many of the students, and so I wasn't able to be here, but it was cool. I actually, like, jumped online to just see how things were going. It was Sunday morning. We were getting ready to leave the camp, actually, and it was so cool to see people engaging, saying good morning, and just being excited to jump online, and even I said hi, and people said hi to me back, and just saying they were praying for us at Camp Chaminade. It was just such a blessing, so thank you all for watching online and engaging with us as well, but thank you, too, for those here who are in person. So we're in the midst of this series, Sons and Daughters, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been challenging for me, and really, when we come to this season that we're in 2020, with so many things going on, I really believe that God's word has implications for our lives today, even in 2020, even March 2020 and on. I don't know if you guys have seen that meme, right? You've lived through the different decades, you know, 1970, 80, 90, and then 2020, early 2020, and then it's like another decade is March, April 2020, and then each decade, and now this last week is another decade. You know, we could feel the weight of this year, but in reality, God's word is true. God's word brings life and hope, even with whatever it is that that is going on. And I really believe that there's something here that God has for us when it means being sons and daughters in 2020 in an election year and all of those things. I was thinking, those of you who have lived in Minnesota for several years, I've lived in Minnesota for 7.5 years now, and I've been through 7 Minnesota winters. You know, that's a lot. Some of you have been through way more than that. But those can be kind of stressful, wouldn't you say? Especially if there's a snowstorm and those kind of things, going out and trying to drive and trying to figure all of that out. It could be really stressful. I remember one year, we were living in Albert Lea at the time, and we were up in the cities for some reason. I can't even remember why. But we were driving back down, and I knew, like, hey, you know, the weather could get kind of bad. So I was thankful we, like, made it past Owatonna. I'm like, hey, this is going pretty well so far, and we're past the halfway point now, getting close to Albert Lea. This is looking pretty good, but then it starts to snow, and you guys know, like, it snows a little bit. I'm like, okay, I can handle some snow. I need to pay attention. I should be paying attention anyway when you're driving, but just making sure I'm engaged with what's going on. Then it snows more, and then it starts looking like Star Wars and Warp Speed, right, when the snow is flying by you, and you're like, okay, now I really got to pay attention. And then you're starting to see, like, well, I can't really see very far ahead of me, but at least now I can see the lines on the road, so I can see that I'm in my lane. But then I can't see where the lane is anymore, and I'm on the interstate, and I'm like, well, now I just am going to be in the center of the road, and it doesn't matter what lane I'm in as long as I'm on the road, right? But then it gets so bad that I can't see where the road ends and where the ditch is on either side. I'm like, I have no clue where I'm going. And that could be stressful, right? If those of you have been in that situation, I'm like, I'm never driving again in this weather. This is too stressful. So I'm holding on, you know, white knuckling it, holding on to that steering wheel. It's just stressed out. And finally, though, there was a snowplow. The snowplow was there, and, you know, I don't know if this is good advice or not, so take this with a grain of salt, but I'm like, the snowplow, I think he knows where he's going, so I'm going to keep my distance and just follow him all the way home. And we're, I don't know, I'm driving 20 miles an hour on the interstate, just slowly making it our way home. And I thought, at least, like, if he gets into trouble, at least hopefully he can get us out, you know, with the snowplow and get us to where we need to go. But that kind of situation could be really stressful, where we're wondering what is going on, and is there a clear path ahead? When is this going to end? And I kind of felt like 2020 could feel like being in a snowstorm in whiteout conditions, where we're like, I can barely see ahead of me. When is this going to end? I'm so tense. I'm so stressed. And what are we going to do? We long for clarity. And that's the title of my message this morning, is clarity. We long for that, don't we? Do you want clarity in 2020? I think, yes, we all want this clarity. And with everything going on, pandemics, the election, racial tension, and even our personal family issues that we might have, you might think, Mark, I'm aware of what's going on in the world and the culture and the politics. And, you know, I care about that. But really, I have so much going on in my own home, with my own kids, with my own spouse, with my own loved ones, that I just have enough to worry about with those things. But with all of these different things, it really impacts us, and we can feel so tense, like we're on the interstate in whiteout conditions, wondering when is this going to end, and when can we get to have a clear path ahead of us so that we can get to the end of this. And then along with that is our own failures, our own weaknesses, our own inadequacies can instruct it and impact our lives. So when we're in a stressful situation, which many times may or may not be because of our actions, like the politics and all these things and all the tension and all the stuff that gets us angry. But then if we're living in sin, then if we're not trusting in God, then if we're trying to relieve our stress in unhealthy ways, and then if unforgiveness and bitterness sets in and it eats away at us, then that impacts how we're going to make it through troubled times, doesn't it? When we're angry, when we're frustrated, when we want to lash out at people because of everything that's going on, it's not very helpful. It's almost like going back to my analogy of driving in whiteout conditions. If you're driving and you're like, okay, I gotta pay attention, we gotta get through this, and then I pull my phone out to check Facebook. And then I start texting people while I'm driving through all of the climate and all the distractions out there. It's like, we got to put that down and pay attention so that we can make it through to the end. And I really believe that these things, our own sins, our own inadequacies, our own weaknesses can really impact us and how we're able to live for God, how we're able to serve Him, and how we're able to rely on Him through troubled times. So this morning, we're going to talk about that. What does it mean to be sons and daughters in the midst of a season where we don't have the clarity that we want? We don't know when it's going to end. And there's so much tension in this world, and how do we navigate that? But before we really dive into that, let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for your presence. I'm thankful that you're with us. You're faithful. Those of us in this room who have been followers of Jesus for years, we've seen you show up time and time again. You are so faithful. Thank you for sending your son Jesus for us. He paid the price that we deserved to pay. He provided forgiveness. He provided love that we didn't deserve. This world, we didn't want anything to do with God, and yet you sent your son Jesus so that we could be called sons and daughters. We're thankful for that. We can call you our Heavenly Father. I just pray that you be with us this morning, be with us the rest of this year and beyond, and be with your church. You've called us to be your church in this time. I pray that you would continue to be faithful and give us what we need through this season. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so there's kind of a lot to cover here with the elections, with all of these things that are going on. So this might be, you know, a two-hour sermon. I'm joking. But this might be slightly longer than I normally go. So we'll see how this goes. So thank you. We're going to take a look first at Hebrews chapter 9. And the author of Hebrews, he really lays out, I believe, something that is going to be helpful for us. As I've talked about, a clear path ahead. We long for that clarity. We long for this stuff to be done with. But in reality, God is making a way for us to be able to navigate troubled times, to be able to make it through these conditions that we are in right now. Now, the author of Hebrews, he talks about Jesus being this high priest. You see, in Hebrews, or in the Old Testament, there was a way where there was a high priest and you'd go into a tent or a tabernacle that was made by human hands, but it was instructed by God, and it was for a season where the high priest would go in and offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, the trespasses of the people, the trespasses where they would fall short with the law that God has given them. And in verse 11 in Hebrews, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and of calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." You see that through Christ, through his death, we are freed. This eternal redemption where God has paid the price for us through his son Jesus. His blood is shed once and for all for our sins. And we have this eternal redemption. We are freed. We are freed to love. We are freed to serve and to live for God. And the author of Hebrews goes on to say, for the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? Or the New Living Translation puts verse 13 this way. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. But we can see here by the blood of Christ and his Spirit that our consciences are purified before God, is cleansed before God. Now, our conscience, it's this word is, and there's going to be a definition on the screen, is the psychological faculty which can distinguish between right and wrong. You see, when we have this conscience, and it's not so much, I don't know if you guys remember the old feature film, Pinocchio, where Jiminy Cricket, he's like the conscience for Pinocchio, helping him to discern right from wrong, and Pinocchio didn't always listen to him. But in reality, our conscience is within us, and we can discern right from wrong, and many times we know that we fall short. I bet many of us in this room know we fall short in our relationships with our spouse, with our family. We don't always do and say the things that we want to, even though we know that it's right. And we are guilty. We have a guilty conscience before God. We all fall short. We all are guilty. And as I said before, as we navigate these troubled times that we are in, that when we have a guilty conscience, this actually can obstruct and impact how we're able to serve the living God. And ultimately, right now, what we need to do and what God is calling us to do as a church is to serve him through troubled times, to love one another and to be the church, to show and share the love of Jesus in the midst of times of uncertainty, in the midst of times where things aren't clear and we don't know when they're going to end. That is what he is calling us to do. But when we have this guilty conscience, it impacts so many things. For example, if you have a guilty conscience, then you might think, I need to earn approval before God, or I need to earn salvation before God. I'm guilty, so let me do these works. Let me do these things so that God can then approve of me, so that God could even save me through my works. Or you might think, I have a guilty conscience, so therefore I need to seek the approval of others. I need them to cleanse and purify my conscience. So you go to people to people please and to try and do these things. And you know, though, that we fall short in these things. We can't earn our salvation before God. And ultimately, we can't please everybody. And we don't always get things right. And it really is a futile effort when we do those things. Or on the other side, we could think, I have a guilty conscience. I've done all of these things. 2020 has been rough, and you don't know what I've done, what I've said on social media, or the ways that I've coped and medicated through this season. You don't know what I've done. God can't use me to serve him. But in reality, what the author of Hebrews is saying is that Jesus has made a way to purify, to cleanse our conscience before God, so that then we are freed to serve him. Yes, our consciences are guilty. We are guilty before God, but God has made a way for us to be freed to serve him through these troubled times that we're in. I'm here to say it's okay. We've all struggled through 2020. We've all said and done things that we probably shouldn't have, but our God is so gracious and he is so loving and he still has called us and he says, you can be the church in 2020. You can be empowered by his Spirit, freed from your guilty conscience to be able to serve the living God in this season. Now, the conscience, I just wanted to point out some different ways maybe to translate this word. Could be moral sensitivity, the inner voice, the voice in one's heart, how one knows right from wrong. So our conscience has told us that we have fallen short. We have done dead works. That is our reality. But through Jesus, we receive a clear conscience. To me, I believe, friends, Trinity Church family, that this is what we need to be able to navigate troubled times, is a clear conscience before God. And God has made a way through Jesus for our consciences to be cleared. And because of that, we are free to serve the living God. And when we have a clear conscience, we are freed from condemnation and accusation. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Well, apart from Christ, we are condemned, we're accused, we're tried, and we are guilty. But God has made a way for us to be freed from that. And when you're freed from that, then we can love others. And we're not loving them to seek their approval, or to seek them to be able to purify our conscience. But we can be freed to serve God and to love others without any other motives. And when we have a clear conscience, we no longer seek others to cleanse our conscience. Now, I want to go back to 1 John chapter 3. I believe in August we had touched on this chapter. But I want to read through verse 16 through the end of the chapter. Now, in 1 John, in his letter, he says this: "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You see here that John, he's talking about loving others. And we know what love looks like. If you're wondering what love looks like, it looks like Jesus. He has paid the price that we deserved. He laid down his life for us. That's what love looks like. And out of that love, then, we are to love one another. And it starts with us. Yes, we should love those who don't know Jesus, because we want to love them with the love of Jesus, because Jesus is desperately drawing them to himself. But I believe in this culture that we live in, where it is a divisive country, that if we love one another first in the church, that is a way to be a light in this dark world, where there is no option for that. It is us versus them, period. There is no other way for many in this world. And we have an opportunity to love each other and not to have our hearts set against each other, or closed off against one another. If you think about when you have loved ones, and maybe your spouse or your kids or your grandkids or your loved ones that are your family. And you might think it would be really hard. Maybe it's easier for some of you, but maybe really hard to close off your heart against them, where you're like, I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. And these are my flesh and blood. And again, not every family's perfect, and maybe that's easier for you than others. But for many of us, it would be so hard to do that. But when you think about this eternal church family that we are a part of, the church, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are sons and daughters, and we have a heavenly Father, that I would just ask, if our hearts are closed off against and set against our brother and sister in Christ, then how can the love of God abide in us? These are our brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when it gets really applicable to our lives is, and I see this, and maybe you guys see this too on social media and friends that I have, there are people that voted for Joe Biden that love Jesus. There are people that voted for Donald Trump that love Jesus. There are people that are Democrats, there are Republicans, there are people that think about COVID-19 and masks and no mask that love Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And God is calling us to not set our hearts, close our hearts off against each other, but to love one another. What a witness that is for the church in 2020, in these troubled times that we live in. Now, the heart here is the, I want to define this for us, or as a reminder for probably some of us, is the center and source of the whole inner life, with its thinking, feeling, and volition. And really, in a lot of ways, the heart encompasses this idea of conscience that I mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9. that our heart does encompass that and really is can in some times be synonymous with heart and conscience. And I'll show you in a verse here in 1 John 3 where you could translate heart and conscience probably either way. But when our conscience is clear, we are freed to love. Remember, we are guilty before God, so we all fall short. So because of that, the only way that our conscience is clear is by the blood of Jesus, not by who we vote for. That is not how our conscience is clear before God. It is clear because of the blood of Jesus, and that's it. His death has paid the price for our sins. And because of that, then we can look at our brother and sister in Christ who maybe think differently about some of these things and say, we are in the same boat. We're both guilty. We both have a clear conscience before God. And because of that, we can be freed to love one another. Now, that doesn't mean that it's easy, right? It can be hard. And in fact, it is impossible without Jesus, right? It is impossible without him. But we know because of Christ, he has made the impossible possible for us to love in the midst of a world that hates. Now, I want to read in verse 19 in the NIV, it says this: "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." And another translation puts this verse this way: "This then is how we can be sure that we belong to the truth and reassure our conscience in his presence." That we desperately want, at least I do, is I want my heart to be at rest in the presence of God. And apart from Jesus, when we're in the presence of God, we realize we're guilty. We realize we have no business being in the presence of God, and our hearts could be restless. Our conscience would be guilty. But because of what Christ has done, he's made a way for our hearts to be at rest, our conscience to be reassured that you can be in the presence of God. And I would just ask you guys this: how is your heart right now? Is it restless or is it at rest in the presence of God? And I would just ask you to consider that. Where is your heart right now? And why is that? Why is that? I don't know the answer, but I believe as you press in and ask God and go before him, he will help. He will reveal why is your heart restless right now? What is it when it comes to this culture and the issues that are going around, or maybe even just in your own family, what's going on that you have a restless heart? As I said, God is gracious. He meets us where we're at. If your heart is restless, that's okay. But then to go to him and his will for you is to have a heart at rest in his presence, no matter what is going on in this world. And John goes on to say in verse 20, "For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything." You see, when we can have a clear conscience before God, because God is greater than our troubled hearts. So our hearts can kind of go back and forth to being at rest in his presence, but then condemning us because we know we are guilty and we know that we fall short. And even those of us who have been followers of Jesus for years, we can lash out and we can say things and do things, not only out there to people who aren't closest to us, but then even to those that are closest to us, we could hurt. And we can be condemned, or our hearts can condemn us, but then we can go to God and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us of our unrighteousness and remind us that your heart can be at rest in the presence of God. So during a lack of clarity with no clear path ahead on this interstate, right, with wide out conditions, what it could feel like 2020 is, but with that path, with no clear path ahead, we can be sure we have a clear conscience in Christ. We can have a clear conscience before the presence of God. And this, my friends, frees us to be able to love people who think differently about things, even brothers and sisters in Christ that do. And we can be an example to this world and point people to Jesus, point people to a different way that isn't divisive, that isn't full of hate, that isn't full of racism, that isn't full of all of the things that we're dealing with in this season. Moving on in verse 21, John says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. A clear conscience frees us to have fellowship with our Father. When our hearts are set at rest in his presence, we are reassured before our Heavenly Father. We are a son and a daughter. We have this access to the Father then, because we're not like, I have this guilty conscience. I shouldn't even be in front of God, and I shouldn't even talk to him. I shouldn't even ask for anything. I don't want to bother him. He's busy. It's like, no, well, we have this reassurance to be in his presence, and we can ask in his name, and we can receive what we ask. Of course, there's the tension, and I've brought this up before to you guys, that Paul, he prays and he asks for this thorn in the flesh to be taken away, but God says his grace is sufficient. It's all that you need, and we need to hold that intention. In this world that we live in, full of sin and full of death, that many times God's answer to our prayers is that his grace is enough. It's all that we need. But that we can continue to go to our Heavenly Father. We can have this access to God and this relationship with him and pray to him and bring our requests to him, and he answers them, and we can have this beautiful relationship with our Heavenly Father at rest in his presence. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus and love one another, John says, just as he has commanded us. And whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The message puts verse 24 like this: and we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Friends, if in a world with a lack of clarity, in this world where we can't see that clear path ahead, that God, that we need desperately to abide in the presence of God. Do you want that? Do you need that? Do you want to have to be at rest in the presence of God, to be reassured before him with all the things that are going on? That is going to sustain us. But one of the ways that we really, one of the primary ways that we do that is that first we believe in the Son of God. We believe in Jesus. He is who he says he is, and he did what he said he did. He died for our sins, and he rose again on the third day to defeat death so that we can have life now and forever. But then we love one another. We love. If we're abiding in God, then we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is what we need to be able to sustain ourselves through this season. I don't know how long this is going to be. I would have loved to have said in a sermon like January 1, 2021, this will all be over. You know, I wish I could say that to you guys. But I can't say that. I don't know when all of this is going to be over. But I do know that if we're abiding in God and he in us, he will give us what we need, sustain us for the journey ahead, whatever the conditions might be. We can experience his deep abiding presence when we receive the love of Jesus and love others. Now, as I said, this is easier said than done. And let's get really practical here. I believe that in this world where it is us versus them, and we're doing a series in TSM right now, which Matt talked about how like this is so timely for our students, but it's definitely a reminder for us that this is a us versus them world, period. There seems to be for many, no middle ground. There is no conversation. It is the people who voted for Biden versus the people who voted for Trump. It's the people who are for masks, and there's the people against. There is, period, us versus them, and that is it. And that is hard in this world, right? How do we then, as brothers and sisters in Christ, love one another? How do we do that? Or even if brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe say things to us that are hurtful, or maybe somebody hasn't directly hurt you, but you think, well, they voted for this person, and then that candidate said something about the candidate I voted for, and then that is hurtful. And we are wrestling through all of these things that it hurts, and we have this unforgiveness in our heart. And what do we do? How do we wrestle with that? I want to read from Colossians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says this in his letter to the churches in the church in Colossae. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. These are Gentiles who weren't circumcised. They weren't a Jewish, so they didn't do that. But he says, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Then he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. You see, God has paid the price, the debt that we deserve through Jesus, so that we could be forgiven, because we all need to be forgiven. Going back to that guilty conscience thing, we are all guilty. We all have a debt to pay, but Jesus has paid that price through the cross that we are forgiven, and we all come to God that way. We don't come to God better if I voted for this person or you voted for that person. We don't come to God better because of that. We can only come to God, be at rest in his presence through what Jesus has done, making a way for us to be forgiven. And because of that, Paul says in Ephesians that we should forgive one another. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. When I see the things out in this world, it's really hard to find people being kind to one another. It's really hard to find people being tender-hearted toward one another in this world. And we as his church have an opportunity to lead by example with that. And not just within our own strength, but by the power of his Holy Spirit. We want to rely on him, and yet not to seek approval of man, to try and people please, or to try and feel like we're trying to earn our salvation before God, but that God empowers us by his Spirit, that we are freed, we are bought back, redeemed, so that we can live for him, so that we can live a life of forgiveness, and we can have this really a bold love in a world that is lacking in love for one another. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And this could be really hard too, even with our family issues. Now, I did get some permission to share this story, but I'm going to keep it general. In my family, about 18 years ago, there was a crime that a family member committed against another one of my family members. Really hard, really hurtful. And this person went to prison for 13 years for this crime that this person committed. And I remember that, and it was devastating for our family, really hard, really difficult. But in the last 6 months or so, I've been talking to this individual again and texting, being on the phone, and we're navigating a difficult season in our family. And this person even said, will you pray for me about this? And you guys know, many of you have been through difficulties in your life with those that who you love that have really hurt you. And it's really hard to pray for somebody that has hurt you that badly, that has hurt so much, that has hurt your family, really changed your family for years because of those actions. And what do you do? How can you forgive in a situation like that? And this person even asked me to forgive him. And what do we do? And as I said earlier, that it is impossible, actually, to have that kind of forgiveness. It's impossible to have that kind of love apart from God, apart from Jesus. As we look at Jesus, who God sent his son to a world that was alienated from him, wanted nothing to do with him, and God sent his son. This is what love looks like. So God, by his Spirit, will empower us. That doesn't mean that it's not hard. It is hard, but we can continue to go to God time and time again when we navigate these troubled times that we're in. And I'm here to tell you, wherever you land on some of these things, if you voted for Trump or you voted for Biden or you're for masks or you're not for masks or whatever you think about all the political issues, I'm here to say, I love you guys too much. We're a Trinity Church family. We will not be divided over these things. We are going to forgive one another. We're going to be understanding. Yes, it's impossible apart from Christ, but guess what? Each and every one of you that has placed your trust in Jesus, you have God in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and we will figure this out together. I'm saying that we are too loved. We're a church family, and we will get through this. God has called us, Trinity Trinity Church to be the church in Lakeville in 2020. He will give us what we need to be able to sustain and persevere through this season. And as I said, I believe in August, we are going to get to this finish line. We don't know when it's going to be, but God is going to actually give us the strength that we need, not just to limp to that finish line, but to have enough strength to celebrate with one another when we cross it. So let's have those conversations. Let's listen to one another and not just listen to debate. Like, I'm going to listen to Trent over here just so I can debate him. It's like, no, I'm going to listen to my brother in Christ who's created in the image of God to listen to understand. Listen to understand and to know that I am for him or I'm for you. And we will navigate and we will get through these troubled times together. Now, I believe I have one more verse for you guys. Let me see. Yes, one more verse in Romans chapter 14, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, this is a great chapter. I'm like, we need to go back to this whole chapter at some point, but I'm already over, so we won't go through that whole chapter right now. So chapter 14, verse 1 says this, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. And I love the way the Message puts this as well. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. Let's treat each other gently. Let's love one another. Let's listen. We can have these different opinions. You know, we're a part of the Evangelical Free Church of America, and we have a statement of faith. These things are the essential things that we hold to, that are the most important. Now, these other things, these opinions that we have, they're actually important. I don't want to not validate those things. These are important things, but these are things that we won't let divide us. These are things that we won't let destroy the church. We just won't do that. And God's will is that they won't do that. That is the enemy's will, to use these opinions, to lose these things that are important to divide and conquer the church. And I'm here to say that we will stand with the full armor of God. We will pray in the Spirit, and we will ask God to bring his church closer together through these times. And we will not, by the power of the Spirit, let these things divide us. So let's listen to understand. That doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything that people are saying, but that we can listen and we can empathize. And maybe we could grow in some understanding as well. But I want to encourage us with this big idea to close. A clear conscience before God leads to a bold love and a life of forgiveness. When we have that clear conscience, knowing that we all are guilty before God, but that the only way that we can have a clear conscience is by the blood of Jesus, by his death, he has forgiven us. He has paid the debt that we deserved, and we can have this clear conscience with this path that we have ahead in these conditions that could seem like at times wide-out conditions where we're stressed. But yet God's will is that we have a clear conscience that we are at rest in the presence of God. We are reassured. Our hearts are reassured before him. And as we are going before our Heavenly Father as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, we can pray together. We can listen to understand together. And we can love one another in the midst of a world that does say it is us versus them, period. But we know a different way. We know a way that is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is only possible by the work of God. That was done 2,000 years ago with Jesus, but it continues now through his church. What would it look like for us to be that church in 2020? So we do have some discussion questions that we're asking you guys to think through. You can talk about this maybe at lunch today or with your spouse, or if you're in a community group or with your friend that you came with, or if you're watching online, you could have a discussion with somebody that's in your room, wherever you're watching. But the first one is your conscience clear before God? Is your conscience clear before him? And maybe there are some people in this room who haven't placed their trust in Jesus, and maybe that's something you need to think through as you're guilty before God, but God has made a way for you to receive forgiveness and eternal life. What in our culture or in your life troubles you the most? what in the culture and in your own life troubles you the most. And it's okay. Like, there's a lot of things that trouble me too. And God meets us in those things, and we can go to God and we can talk to others and have those conversations and pray with one another. Another question is, how does having a clear conscience before God help you in this situation? So you're troubled about something. So how does having a clear conscience before him, a heart set at rest in his presence, help you? And how can you have a bold love and live a life of forgiveness in this situation? How can you have a bold love and live a life of forgiveness in this situation? Let's pray. Father, I am thankful that we are your sons and daughters, that you are a heavenly Father. And right now, I even just want to take a moment to let's sit at rest in your presence right now. Our hearts are restless, and that's okay. You're gracious and you're loving. And we just want to sit at rest in your presence, knowing we are your son, we are your daughter, you're a heavenly Father, and you love us. And you, if we're mourning right now, you are mourning with us. Whatever we're feeling right now about this year, elections, pandemics, all the stuff, the politics, or even in our own family with the things that we're navigating, broken relationships, sickness, whatever it is, that you meet us there and that you will give us what we need by your Spirit to be able to love, to be able to forgive, to be able to be a light in this world that points people to Jesus. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for this church family. May we love one another. As I've already seen as being a part of this church family for 19 months or 20 months or so, that we love one another. Help us to love each other even better through these troubled times. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.